drowning pool on a Friday night.
A little drowning pool, some step up. Hell yeah.
What's now up, I miss yeah. my hair, Ed.
Now you miss hair? Like,
me too, bro. Me too.
I feel.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to a brand new episode of Brainy's Peach Tea, episode 143 for those counting. And yep, we're back in 2004. We got drowning pool, and we're talking to a Punisher. And we're going to be talking a little bit Punisher Dirty Laundry as well, which is the quote-unquote follow-up for those who do remember that. Yeah, thanks for joining us as always. If you're joining us on the Facebook live stream, if you're joining us on YouTube or X or wherever you found your audio-only podcast, we always appreciate the support. We got a full house this Friday night. With me as always is Jason, we got Jader, and we got Rick, and we're talking some Punisher. So, fellas, what's up, boys?
I'm going to say this. I'm kind of scared here because I was confused. I thought we were watching Rambo First Blood tonight, and that's what I prepared for. Now, you might be asking, how could you make such a mistake? And I'm going to say, because clearly I'm not the only one who thought these movies go together. My own indicates.
Oh, my God, dude. Well played, sir. Well played.
Jason, I got to say is that we can talk about it a little bit, but we had some adventures trying to find the Punisher, which was really bizarre this week.
I don't think we had the only time we ever had a harder time was when we tried to do Planet Hulk and we just couldn't find it anywhere.
Yeah, and I think didn't we just tap out and that was it? We just moved on to something
else. Yeah, we just moved on. Fuck it. It's not worth it. But we weren't tapping out on this. But yeah, those adventures. I mean, I had to go digging through my physical media, guys. And I don't know. I'm not the resident old man here, actually. That's kind of nice. We're all the same age. This is the hill I'm going to die on. Physical media. I'm never letting my physical media go. I don't care about, I care about streaming, but I'm still going to keep this. That's the old man hill I'm going to die on. Get off my fucking lawn, you whippersnappers.
You're going to need an attic.
Oh man! You know what?
And I own it. I owned it on DVD, and apparently, I can't find my DVD book. Yes, for those who don't know, there was discs, and we used to put them in a fucking binder. And I don't know where it is. I checked my garage. Yep, I had all my movies in there, completely gone. It's not available to rent anywhere, which me and Rick were scrambling to try to do. And the only option was to buy it on Vudu. So I actually gave in eventually. And said, screw it, I want to do it. So now I own the Punisher. Forever.
Oh, yeah.
Sort of.
But did you get First Blood with it? Because I think those two were like companion pieces.
No, I didn't. And I'm pretty sure I paid more than you did for that awesome combo pack. So, yeah.
I paid $4.99, baby.
Earlier today,
I paid more than three times.
Eddie texted me earlier today if I'd seen it. I was like, dude, I'm not fucking paying $8 for that shit.
And then I gave him my Vudu login.
Yes, and I watched it.
Now, yeah, you're on board.
And then halfway through, I discovered it's a 2-hour movie. And I was like, what the fuck?
Well, that's why I made sure I sent you the login info when you had about 2.5 hours to watch it so you could actually knock this out. Jader, I'm assuming you own this.
I do. I told you right before we jumped on. I haven't seen this movie in quite some time, but I've seen it enough to obviously jump on with you boys and talk. But I did. I was actually one of the few because I don't know if you guys remember that this movie came out the same day as Kill Bill Volume 2.
Yes, actually, I do remember that.
Yeah, and I diehard Quentin Tarantino, diehard Kill Bill 1 fan. It was so hard for me to say no to Kill Bill opening night, but that's how much more of a Marvel fan that I was. That I was like, fuck it, we're watching some Punisher tonight. I'll check out Kill Bill later. But I did see this opening night. We'll jump on our thoughts in a little bit, but it was a pretty empty theater, but I also it was like halfway full, and it's what we had at the time. That's what I'll say right now, as of right now. But when the movie did come out, as soon as it came out on DVD, I ended up purchasing it as well. I don't know where the hell that copy is, to be completely honest. Some storage somewhere in Miami right now, but I have lost all my physical media, which is crazy. to say, right? I've been walking around or moving from place to place with a Apple TV, and I buy everything streaming now. I don't buy any physical, even though I am a physical media guy. What I hated was moving. When I would move from place to place, those, man, those boxes get heavy, and there's a lot. And I, you're talking to somebody when I think I had, no bullshit, over 2K DVDs, over 2,000 DVDs. I had maybe Blu-rays. I started coming down where I was not buying everything. Because before, I would just go to Best Buy on a Tuesday, because when the movies would release on Tuesdays. And even if I didn't see the movie, I would buy it. And if I didn't like it, I'd chuck it up as a loss, and it is what it is. But I would go, whatever 3-4 movies would drop that day, I would pick them up. If there's any classics that I had missed, I'd walk around. I'm like, oh, shit. And I just grab the movie and go. With Blu-ray, I was like, you got to be a little smarter than this, because I had rebought already, like, let's say Heat. I had it on the movie Heat. I had on VHS. I had on DVD. Then I got it on Blu-ray. I have it on 4K. I love that movie.
Nice.
So I was like, you just got, I started getting like very like, you know, and then when I started seeing that digital media, all you got to do is download the app and it's on your phone. It's on your tablet. It's everywhere. I'm like, fuck it. This is the way that I'm going. However, I've been noticing that a lot of digital media for certain places, people are losing their digital media because it happened with PlayStation, if I'm not mistaken. They lost their licensing to something, and there's some media, physical media that was lost. I saw this on Reddit, and I was like, oh, fuck. Like, is this what's going to happen to us? All this money we dropped on digital, and where it's technically we don't have it here to own.
Yeah.
So
the answer is yes. That's why you need physical media like Jason. Yep. He'll never lose that Rambo film. Not until Finn gets his hands on it and rips it in half.
Oh, no, this is going to be buried with me, guys. Dead, you know, little Rambo Punisher combo in the afterlife.
Nice.
I went through my DVD book to see if I owned this movie. And I didn't see this movie, but I do own a copy of Little Miss Sunshine. And I was surprised. Oh, I mean, I like that movie, but I never thought I'd
want it
at some point.
Yeah.
Now, did you rent it from somewhere and keep it? Or did you actually go out and buy Little Miss Sunshine?
I used to go to Blockbuster and RKO Video a lot. Exactly. This is why I'm asking this
question right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And we had a lot of video stores in my neighborhood that would like pop up and disappear and pop up and disappear. Yeah.
I had a couple of VHSs from Blockbuster. Very, very little DVDs. I had more VHSs that I wouldn't return versus the actual DVDs.
You know what you should have brought from Blockbuster is the Flintstone video game.
The Super Nintendo one?
That's random.
What? Yeah. It's super random. I don't know what this has to do with anything, but that game was fucking fun.
It's worth a lot of money right now. It was a Blockbuster exclusive. So there weren't a ton of copies.
Okay, that's where we're going.
Yeah.
Okay.
That makes sense. I'll tell you, when Blockbuster started selling used DVDs, that's when I started amassing a collection. Because I would just go, like you, Jader, and I'd be like, okay, well, what do I want to see? And I'll pay like $5 for it. If I don't like it, whatever. Like you said, I to this day still have a handful of those. And every now and then I look through it and I go, Blockbuster, this is like holding history.
It really is.
You still have the box?
Oh yeah, no, I don't get like I can't do the binder. I need them all in display. I'm like a physical media serial killer. Like I need the trophies, you know, I need to look at them. Sometimes I just stand there and stroke my beard and go, "Yes, this is a solid collection."
You're making me want to start a DVD collection now.
That's honestly
flea markets within like 20 minutes of my house.
That's honestly how I would feel when people would come to my room. They would call me Blockbuster, and they'd come, and I'm like, look at this. Enjoy look at this. And I would just fucking love it. Yeah, I love it. And then people were like, can I borrow? And I'd write it down on a paper. Like, I like want my shit back. Like, I'm like, I know what you took. I swear to God, I took my shit very seriously. But it got expensive for me because every, you know, 4 or 5 years, they were just, you know, again, with the VHSs, because I had a shit ton of VHSs as well. But from VHSs to DVDs to Blu-rays to now 4K and whatever the fuck we're going to get after 4K, you know, it was it, for that's why I got so selective, where I'm like, I'm just gonna get fucking movies that I know I'm always gonna want or always gonna want to see or always, you know. But it got to that point where I was like, I just get every, and then Apple TV has great sales for like $4. So every beginning of the month, I would just do my whole collection. I'm like, click, 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 click. And I would just buy a bunch of shit that I bought Little Giants like 3 days ago. Because nice. It was on sale for $4. I'm like, that's a fucking bargain. I mean, and I bought that. I bought, what other movie, man? Eternal Sunshine was $4. I bought that. It's just little things that I'm like, okay, I'm probably not gonna watch this right now, but I'll probably watch it in a little bit, and then I refuse to pay now like $20 to $30 for a movie unless it's a movie that I absolutely need or I want to support or whatever. But those bargain deals, it's like shopping at Walmart, but it's just you do it from home. Yep. Just, you know, it's that bargain shopping. And when I see the five, I'm like, click, 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 and I would just buy a bunch of shit.
Well, that's me on Vudu. They get me all the time with that kind of crap. And I mentioned before some of the movies we're going to be coming up with shortly, the Daredevil director's cut and Elektra director's cut, which I didn't know that the Elektra one existed. Two for $8. I'm like, I was probably going to rent them for $4 anyway, so I might as well just own them and whatever. That's it. I mean, get drunk sometime.
I'm going to jump on Vudu now to see what I find, because I never check Vudu ever. So
you should. Do you own a Daredevil director's cut?
No, I don't. I've seen it. No. Let me rephrase. It's probably right next to Punisher somewhere. I just don't know where, but I did own it.
So now you go on Vudu, grab that bundle for Elektra director's cut and Daredevil director's cut, and there you go. It's not so bad. Until in a few weeks, I'll find out if it really is that bad. I mean, I don't know. I haven't seen the director's cut. All right, so before we jump into the movie, let's get to Alex's comment here. Alex, what's up, man? It's been a while. Tomorrow marks 3 years that Granny's Peach Tea debuted, 143 episodes later. Wow. We're here. So I'm going to finally get into the Punisher, so nice.
I can't believe it.
Congrats.
3 years.
It's been a little while. That's awesome. And all this time, it took us this long to start really getting into the 2000s. Pre-MCU Marvel era, which, you know, for our younger viewers, you don't know how good you have it, even though people want to bitch and moan about the MCU the last year and change. Just understand that the mid to early 2000s was a whole another Marvel universe, my friends, that you don't know about.
Oh,
and during this time,
it was the Wild West.
We got the second adaptation of Frank Castle in The Punisher. Remember the second, because we did cover the Dolph Lundgren one from 1989, which was the first, you know, feature film with that.
And I believe I remember liking that more on that rewatch than I did the first time. And I'm going to say that I like this more on this rewatch, and maybe it's a Punisher thing. Maybe I just have to get older to appreciate what's going on in these Punisher movies.
You're like, there's a dude drinking who's angry, and I can appreciate him now.
Oh, dude, there is so much drinking whiskey from the bottle in this movie. This man is drinking whiskey from the bottle, and I'm like,
But in Dirty Laundry, he was sober. Well, I thought that was weird.
That's why I was staying quiet. I was staying quiet too, and I was like,
"That was really weird."
Let's hold off the Dirty Laundry because
sucked away.
There's a lot of genius.
Is it going to be a weapon?
There's a lot of genius in Punisher Dirty Laundry.
Probably a sponsor.
Yeah, right. Well, Turkey. It was Jim Beam
No. In the movie,
in Jim Beam in Dirty Laundry, wasn't it a bottle of Jim Beam he buys?
It's Jack Daniels.
Jack Daniels. And he's drinking Wild Turkey in this movie.
Right.
Yes, which I did at a company holiday party one time, and I blacked out at some point. But that's another story for another time.
As someone who has drank a lot of whiskey in his life, if you are drinking Wild Turkey from the bottle at any point in your life, seek help. That's a cry for help.
Oh yeah.
Wild Turkey. Look, if you're swinging Jack Daniels from the bottle, hey, it's just a good night.
All right, get out of here.
But look, you're hitting the turkey. No, go for help.
Funny
enough, the first time I ever had, I had to take a swig out of Wild Turkey. I had no idea what it was. I had just started. I turned 21. I had just started drinking, and we were on our way to a club in Miami, And I was hanging out with my manager at the time, but him and I got along super great. And he's like, "Oh, I got a bottle under the car seat. Just, you know, take a swig, get a little pregame going." And I see it's Wild Turkey. When I'm like, I thought it was gasoline the first time I tried that shit. But I was swinging it. I got so fucked up that night. Great times.
Exactly. But you had the 102 proof.
Yeah, but I have to say that I have done that before in my life. I had to put that in there, that I'm like, I have taken a swig straight out of a bottle of a Wild Turkey, and we had a wild. Funny enough, I was seeing pictures of that night like 2 days ago. It popped up in my little memory, and I was like, that was a fucking crazy night. That was good times.
But yeah, so this was it, and an interesting film. Lionsgate had the rights to The Punisher at this time. They went forward with it. And some of the effects on the movie is that the packaging rights for a lot of the Punisher villains were actually packaged with Daredevils, which is why the Kingpin does not appear in this movie. And okay. We get Howard Saint, who is the villain that John Travolta plays in this movie.
Yeah.
So that's what was, I found that to be kind of interesting. And just to give you those again who maybe haven't seen it, a little flavor of what we're getting into right now. I guess we can go around quickly, just usual overall thoughts before we jump into characters and stuff, whatnot. Jason, I'm dying to hear about this. What were your thoughts on this rewatch, a movie you haven't seen probably since 2004?
So I saw this once before in the movies. I don't remember the circumstances I saw it under because I saw a lot of movies at that time. I hated this movie when I saw it in the theater. I had so many problems with it. I didn't particularly care for Thomas Jane. I thought Travolta was terrible. And I thought a lot of the movie was kind of stupid. I still think a lot of those things, but I really enjoyed it last night. And the thing that has changed, the one thing that really flipped for me is I take it back. Every bad thing I said about Thomas Jane in 2004, I was wrong. I think he's, like, watching this, he's the best part of this. He kind of elevates this movie a bit more than he should have the power to in 2004, because this is, like, he's still kind of unknown. And I'm going to say this. I'm going to double down on this. If people had revisited this movie before Jon Bernthal was cast as the Punisher, there would be a million fanboys with, like, useless petitions to give Thomas Jane the role back, because he really is an excellent Punisher in this. And my problems are still, I still have a lot of the same problems. I think parts of this movie is kind of dumb. The comedy, it doesn't work. I think John Travolta can be an amazing actor, but not in this movie. I think he's pretty bad in this movie. But I think the action is fucking super fun. And I think Thomas Jane really, like, elevates this. And so, yeah, I don't hate this. I actually, this is one I was dreading on the rewatch, and I'm really glad I had to rewatch it for this show, because it's the only thing that would have gotten me to rewatch it. And now I'm like, I'm kind of, you know what? I'm kind of glad I own this now. Originally, I bought this First Blood. Now I'm kind of like, I will rewatch The Punisher again in my lifetime.
Okay. Nice. Rick stepped away. Jada, I know you haven't watched it in a minute, but what were your thoughts on this film?
So, funny enough, you guys mentioned the Dolph Lundgren one. I have not. I saw that one after I saw this one. So this was my original Punisher for me.
Okay.
And then it wasn't until they told me, it's like, oh, there's been one before, where I was like, oh, what the fuck? And then I went back and I watched it. I'm pretty sure I own that one too, just because I ended up finding, I couldn't find it anywhere at the time. Like, Blockbuster, none of them carried it. And then I had to, like, purchase it for me to, if I'm not mistaken, but I'm pretty sure I own a copy of that. Anywho, so I was the complete opposite of Jason. I loved this movie when I got out of the movie theater, just because, hey, it was a Punisher film. It was gritty. It was violent. I've always been one of those fanboys for Thomas Jane, because I actually do feel like he did a good job in this movie. If you were to make me pick between one and the other, I probably would go Bernthal now, just because I know everything that Bernthal has done so far with the Punisher, with the character of the Punisher. I fucking love him. But I don't take Thomas Jane's flowers away from him. I think he did a good job. And I've always felt that way. I do also feel that Travolta was in a completely different fucking movie. Like,
yes, so exactly.
my complaint about this has always been Howard Saint's character. I've never liked him. The henchman, Kevin Nash, is the everything else works in this movie, in my opinion, except for the main villain, which is a little bizarre coming and saying that from the caliber actor that John Travolta is and can be. And don't get me wrong, he's had some fucking stinkers. You get me? But Travolta is also the guy that did, you know, he's in a fucking Tarantino movie, Pulp Fiction. He was great in that. Just, you know, in Face Off, he was a great villain there. I don't know if you guys seen The Taken of Pelham 1, 2, 3. Like, he can do villain really well.
Yeah.
And he felt just fucking corny and cartoony to me. And I know it's just a comic, but it just didn't, I didn't like his character. I liked everyone. Will Patton being his right-hand man, he was fine. Just everyone around him except for him. And the son with the sunglasses. Fuck that guy. But other than that, like...
sunglasses and,
yeah,
the
fuck out of here, bro.
He was so yeah, weird. Dude.
Exactly. I was like, didn't they kill you earlier?
Yeah. But to me, I like the fact that, you know, Marvel kind of started... Well, this run of Marvel kind of started with an R-rated film. And then we got the X-Men and the Spider-Man films. And then we jump back to gritty, which is also what I feel hurt this film. I felt like we didn't get a sequel to this movie because we were off by 1 year. This movie came out in 2004. The Dark Knight came out 2005. The Dark Knight was a dark film.
They would have just halted production.
So I feel...
Batman Begins.
Batman Begins is what I meant. I'm sorry. I don't know what I said. Yeah, so Batman Begins. It was just a year later. And then everyone... was, yes, this is what we need. We need darker. We need more serious. And this is what, but I felt like this film has been forgotten. You get me? And for me, it's even on rewatches, is it a perfect film? No. Is it a good Punisher film? I still think so. I don't think besides the Travolta things and little corny things here and there, I overall have a good time. I feel like it has great emotion when it needs to, because in the beginning of the film, you know, they're doing that whole deal. He gets, obviously, you know, he gets killed, he comes back, but then you see him being happy with his family. Then they annihilate his whole family. And then it turns from a little bit of, you know, the little bit of sunshine and all, and then, you know, it was Puerto Rico or whatever they filmed it, but you know, they were all happy. And then after that, it just gets gritty, like very gritty, very dark film. And I like that. I don't know. For me, he was a good addition, you know, and it's okay to have two good Punishers or two good Batmans, et cetera, et cetera. I just feel like people don't give Thomas Jane his flowers, and I feel he does deserve it.
Rick, what were your thoughts?
I got a couple of different places I'm going to go, so feel free to jump in when you want to. But the first place is, like he was just saying about, you have to, like, it's okay to have, like, you don't just have to have your favorite Joker. Like, you can agree that Heath Ledger was great and you like Joaquin Phoenix. And if you're me, you also like Jared Leto. Like, it's okay to have more than one Joker variation you enjoy. I am a sports fan. The Yankees can't have Derek Jeter for my whole life. There will be other shortstops. What am I going to do? I'm going to compare every shortstop to Derek Jeter, or I'm going to want them to all be as good as Derek Jeter. You know what I'm saying? So, like, when these actors are playing these roles, first off, we got to remember in the comic book, whoever the writer or the artist is has a big, like, response. It's a big effect on the story. If Todd McFarlane's drawing your art, you know what I'm saying, or Rob Liefeld, like, it's a big difference. And I think we got to take that into account when we're talking about different actors playing the same role and when they make it their own. So in that regard, this is like one of my Punishers. You know what I'm saying? I respect him. When this movie came out, went to the theater, watched it. It was all right. Back then it was weird. Like with Marvel stuff, like it was weird. Sometimes you'd get, actually for a long time we got nothing. And then randomly things would, you know, like appear. And sometimes it was Blade, which was the, come on, Blade is like GOAT level shit until you get to 3. And then sometimes it was stuff like this that was, let's say it was ahead of its time. If it came out 3 years later, when people were like, wow, I really enjoyed that Batman movie, it'd be cool to see a dark and gritty movie where somebody kills Kevin Nash with a, you know, like, in
fucking Grease.
Exactly. Like, there, the market might have been ready for this if it dropped a little while later. With that being said, it's really sad the way the Punisher has been done. I feel like in a lot of media, they keep wanting to remind you that it's a comic book. Like with Warzone and with elements of this movie, they were like, oh, you thought this was an action movie. No, 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 no. This is a comic book. Here's a joke. You know, here's something that doesn't make sense. First off, things that don't make sense. The mother talking to the little kid on the beach. And the little kid's like, oh, look what I found. And it's like so obviously a horseshoe crab. This kid's up on the beach playing with a horseshoe crab. And the mother's like, oh, that's a stingray.
What?
I don't remember that at all. Is that, does that happen?
I'm going to be honest. I can't say that I clocked that. I'm going to leave that to Florida, man. Because I definitely did not.
I do remember that scene.
I'm jumping into the movie, guys. I'm jumping in. First scene.
Didn't clock that it was a horseshoe crab, but I am going to say this. Out of all of the weird, out-of-place moments in this movie that you chose to focus on, it was the fact that the woman couldn't tell a horseshoe crab from a stingray.
Yeah, I'm going to chalk that up to the I don't give a shit, but...
fuck them.
Yeah, I'm going to rewatch this. I worked in film. You don't make that mistake. They shot the movie in Tampa. We know the difference between a stingray and a horseshoe crab. We have both.
See, but I wonder if I spoke to 2004 Rick that saw it before he lived in Tampa, if he would have known that or not. Probably not.
Maybe a stingray would have a shell and be on land.
For you, yes.
I don't even know. I guess.
Listen, I'm gonna jump in with this. My thoughts on this movie is like you guys, when I first saw it back in 2004, I was just happy we had a Punisher movie again. That was more than Dolph Lundgren, because that I saw on VHS when I was a kid, and that was all we had. So I was excited about that. I also like Thomas Jane a lot as an actor in general. He also, in the movie 61, he plays Mickey Mantle, which is my favorite baseball movie of all time. So there's definitely an affinity for him. I think this movie, I think it is, I'm going to follow what Jader mentioned, that I do think there is a dark and gray Punisher movie in here somewhere, but I feel like there's elements that jump in that take you out of that. Mainly the neighbors are two of the three neighbors are my issue with this movie, that they're in a different movie. Along with John Travolta. You got the neighbors and Travolta. There's three different movies going on here. And that's
what two of the three?
The Tweaker and the Fat Man, the cartoon.
Exactly. Cat, right? Yeah, exactly. I mean, Joan, who's played by Rebecca Romaine Stamos in her second comic Marvel character that she plays, because she was Mystique in the original X-Men run, which was still going on at this time. She plays one of the neighbors. And she could have been. I mean, who's to say she wasn't, right? No, like, she's fine in this movie. I don't have any issues with her storyline whatsoever, besides she listens to Seether for the entire film at different points in the film, which is a little bit strange.
It's a great fucking song, bro.
It's a great song, dude. We'll talk about the soundtrack later. The soundtrack hit me, man. I was right back in 04, man. It was it was something. Or listening to Turbo on Sirius XM. So, yeah, there's a lot of things that work for it, but there are a couple of things that I will say. Yeah, John Travolta, this is like Battlefield Earth level John Travolta that we're getting here.
Awful. Oh, shit.
He's bad. Like, he's bad. He's bad. In this movie.
Like, he might be the worst actor in this movie. Like,
yeah. And I will say, Kevin Nash does a better job. Kevin Nash doesn't have one line in this film. but he doesn't.
He sells his character more.
Yes, even though he looks like a G.I. Joe. He looks like a Cobra G.I. Joe action figure in this movie.
So, too little. I'm sure you guys know one of the fun facts. You know, he actually got stabbed in that scene, right?
Yes, I do.
Yeah. That scene is fucking crazy. Yeah, when he stabs him in that scene, that was a dull. It was a blade that was dulled down, but the prop guy forgot to take it out because apparently he was flirting with some girl on set, and they forgot to swap out the knife. And then they kept that in there, no flinch, no nothing, like a motherfucker, like nothing.
Oh, so that's the actual reaction.
That take that you see in the movie, it's actually him getting stabbed for real. And then another fun fact that I want
to... That makes him the best actor in the movie. I just want to point out. He didn't react when being stabbed in the chest.
Yeah. And another fun fact, but right before you jump on. Yeah. You mentioned Rebecca Romijn being Mystique. Who's Dave?
Oh, he's Angel in
X-Men 3.
Ben Foster.
Ben Foster, which is a phenomenal actor. I feel like he's one of the most underrated actors of our time. He's an amazing actor.
Yes.
I don't mind. Bumbo, is that his name? I forget his name. The big guy. He's the one that kind of throws me off. I like two of the three neighbors because I didn't mind Ben Foster's character. Yeah. See, it still works, man. It still works. Nice. I haven't seen this movie in years, but I remember.
The third neighbor is the cartoon element that I was saying. Like, they kept throwing things in there. If that third neighbor was just like, I don't know, a strung out junkie, like, or just anybody that's not a fucking weird ass character, that scene wouldn't seem so strange.
See, but I think that not Bumbo. I think that Dave, the other neighbor, he fits in this. He's part of the reason why this movie took me back to this movie's very 2004. It's very mid 2000s. He fits perfectly with that part of it. But having said that, the neighbor part of it with Frank Castle is just weird. It's completely unnecessary. And Rick, I agree with you that it almost reminds you of it because I do think that there are still studios trying to figure out how to make comic book movies at this time. Like that's why it was so erratic on the things that we get.
They were like trying to force themselves in this man's life. our friend.
Yeah. The scene where they have like non-Thanksgiving dinner, that was weird. Like I legitimately love the scene where he beats the crap out of her abusive boyfriend because that's just funny. This guy's like, oh, gotcha, I got you. She's like, fuck you, you know, takes his knife. Great scene. But like everything else with the neighbors, like there's a point. So there's the Thanksgiving thing. There's a point where they're all fucking doing weird dances. The fat guy, literally his character is he's fat. He's always eating. He's always talking. It's like it's one of those early 2000 things. Like if you're fat, that's your whole character.
Yeah, and it's a trope. It's an early 2000s trope.
Yeah, and I think like what you were saying before, Ed, what Jada was saying, there's a darker movie here, and I think if this movie were made post Batman Begins, much better movie because all this comedic shit that doesn't work is taken out.
Yeah, and I know Jada, I agree with you too, and Jason.
Right.
Yeah, if it's a couple of years later, we definitely get a different movie. There's a lot of it that works. Some of the writing and the stuff in this is kind of cringy, where the dialogue is just dumb at times. And Jason, I agree. Some of the humor doesn't work a couple of times where it's just bad writing. But there's a lot of element. Like some of the kills that Frank Castle does, like they're pretty fucking brutal. He stabs a guy through the fucking throat and the knife goes through his mouth.
That is my favorite kill in comic book movie history.
Wow.
Like when I saw it earlier today, it reminded me of how much I loved it originally. Because I always remember there was one kill in this movie. We all know the fucking Warzone, except for Jason, Warzone bazooka shot. Come on.
Just we all know let it be.
Right.
Jason. Now, but in this movie,
we all know the fucking knife through the mouth thing. So I saw the Leonardo DiCaprio when he's pointing, he's like,
yes.
He's like, this thing. I was like, that's the thing.
Yeah. So I don't know, like I overall, before we can jump into characters, is I did have a fun time watching this movie again. I do appreciate it as much as I kind of did back then. I don't hate this movie. I haven't. I acknowledge its issues, but it has a lot working for it. I do think that if it had a like an actual Punisher villain instead of a Howard Saint, then I think that also could have been something that helps it as well. So
I'll be honest with though, I don't mind Howard Saint as a villain. I mind the way Travolta portrayed him. I think like it's fine if it, because this is like the Punisher origin story, and it wasn't the king in the comics. It's not the Kingpin who killed his family, right? It's it's like it's some gangland people who he kind of ran afoul of. And if I remember correctly, it was meant for him. It was like a car bomb meant for him. So it being that just like this mob guy, I would have been completely okay with it. It's just Travolta is so fucking bad that it's hard to watch. Like, better actor and a little better writing, and I think the villain issue would have gone away.
You know what else this is like? And I'll just take another Travolta role that's really over the top, Broken Arrow.
I was going to mention that movie as well. Yeah.
And I like Broken Arrow, but John Travolta in Broken Arrow is fucking bonkers. Like, when he goes for it, he really goes like crazy. I guess that's kind of like his Nick Cage, his crazy Nick Cage, which is ironic because of Face Off, but when he's playing crazy Nick Cage at times. But I guess that's what he has. We have crazy John Travolta at times, and we get that in like Battlefield Earth, Face Off, I mean, not Face Off, in Broken Arrow and in this, but this is also just like cheesy.
Yeah, he was just bad in this. Yeah, the other ones I felt like they fit the character more. This doesn't fit like Howard Saint. It's not how he should have been portrayed, like Jason said. No, that's the issue. The like Broken Arrow worked. It's not a bad film. He's not terrible, and he's just over the top. And this one, it just doesn't work the way he's doing it. So
yeah, it's like a bad over the top, because you can have good over the top and bad over the top. Mm-hmm. This is bad over the top. Yeah. But I guess to follow up on Frank Castle too, on Thomas Jane, he's great in this. And I actually will say this, and without giving away too much with next week, I will say we have not had a bad live action Frank Castle. Without my thoughts about Warzone, Ray Stevenson is not the problem. So I would say they all do. Even Dolph Lundgren, for what he was given, fine. John Bernthal, probably that's the GOAT now.
Yeah.
But Thomas Jane definitely does a phenomenal job as Frank Castle in this. And I know there was like some knocks that he's kind of blah in this, but that's Frank Castle. He's not happy.
He's a very stoic, stone face, doesn't care. Like, that's why
Thomas Jane was doing some bad acting in this movie. We can't bail him out with saying he had a bland character. There were some some uninspired acting, especially when he was with his family. Yes, every time he spoke to his son. he was running lines and not actually filming. I'll let Jason talk.
But
Jason,
I have to admit though, there are certain moments in this movie where I think he's doing really good acting. Like the scene which I hated about with the dinner, right? I think he portrays really uncomfortable very well. And even the lead up to that scene where like the tweaker knocks on his door and he's like, the boyfriend's come back and you gotta go in there, you gotta help. And Thomas Jane gives this look like, I don't want to do this, but I kind of have to because I am the good guy. And I don't know, like I didn't find him that blah. Like I kind of liked him in there. I know I really liked him in this. So like I get it. Like the wooden thing with his son, but like once he gets into Punisher mode, I was in.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. I actually think Thomas Jane does a knockout job in this movie. To be honest, I think he portrays Frank Castle how he should be portrayed in this. You know, he lightens up a little bit here and there when he needs to, but he's also fucking like, you can buy that this man is fucking dealing with a lot of emotional pain and PTSD, and he's gonna fucking unleash hell on who he needs to. Eventually, because that's the other thing I had with the set up Howard Saint.
There's a lot more aiming and not enough punishing.
Yeah, so there's a thing that he does is part of his plan for revenge on Howard Saint is to get Howard to believe that his right hand man, Quentin Glass, is cheating with his wife, and they have something going on. But then it's revealed that Quentin Glass is actually gay, and then he blackmails Quentin Glass, and he has pictures of him making out with some dude, and said he's going to send it to Howard, and he meets up with him a couple of times to start setting the things in place to make it look like there's an affair going on. And then his wife goes to the movies every Thursday night to see anything that's out.
My favorite anything. Part about that is...
I mean, hey.
It sounds like you.
Sounds like we kind of do that too.
Eddie,
I'm like, we kind of do that
like,
too.
But not at the same time.
I got to see
but
it.
Not at the same time.
I got to go.
Because hey, listen, we have to appreciate
she may have had Regal Unlimited before Regal Unlimited. I mean, who knows?
The genius of his play where he's walking around with a broken off fire hydrant that he just kind of sets up to get her a ticket. I mean, it's a bit much for me.
And I kind of feel like John Bernthal Punisher just would have like just grabbed a bunch of guns and walked up to this motherfucker's house and just started smoking everybody one day. And that would have been the end of that.
Yeah. So. No, so this is one of the, that whole, whatchamacallit, setup with the wife. And that was one of the things that I'm not too crazy about in this movie. I was like, you're fucking Frank Castle, bro. I'm like, what are you doing? You know, those are one of the things that's it. I don't know. Like I overall enjoyed this. I like the ending sequence when he's going after Howard Saint, right before that kill with the knife, how he just gets a bone arrow and just fucking sticks it through the guy's neck, and he's just going off on motherfuckers.
When he sends the cake in with the explosive, I love that scene. Like, oh,
so cake.
Fuck yeah, man.
Yeah, the setup over there, or the sting operation, whatever you want to call it, that's the only thing regarding Frank Castle that doesn't work for me. Otherwise, everything's pretty cool. His son giving him the T-shirt shows that there's like an emotional attachment when he gets the skull and everything like that there. And then later on, he paints it on, it seems like every live-action Punisher. We'll have the skull painted on a bulletproof vest at some point. And it looks fucking dope every time.
His are the best out of everybody.
How the graffiti is like,
The paint's running down.
Yeah, his skulls are the down. Best skulls of any of them. Any of them. His are the best. So I love the jump around nature of this conversation. And one thing I want to jump to is I did love the comics accurate. This Punisher dies at the end of every fight. he's just like a fight or a shootout or anything. He's like dead for like a scene, but then he's back. Like I don't know if he's the Terminator or he's the Undertaker, but I did love that about this. Like he takes a licking, but then he takes a nap and then keeps on ticking.
Like I forgot that they literally executed him after they watched. He watched him kill his family, and then he just survived.
And they blow him up. They shoot him and blow him up.
Blew up. By the way,
and you see his body fly over.
So I want. I'm glad you mentioned that because that was in one of my notes regarding Castle. So Quentin Glass is pouring this gasoline in that scene where they're trying to and where they're executing the family and going ahead and executing Frank. And he stops right before Frank, doesn't pour gasoline on him, is like, nah, I'm just gonna walk away. Very villain, you know, traditional villain style. Nah, I can kill him, but I'm not gonna do that. I'm gonna walk away, I'm gonna set up this lighter and do this whole fucking thing. And which Frank does do at the end of the movie too, kind of like, you know, full circle thing. But you easily could have poured the gasoline on Frank and then end scene.
Killed him. That's it.
End movie. End movie. Yeah. That's it. Directed by blah blah blah. But no, he doesn't. And his body
they could have shot him too. They all had guns with bullets still in them.
Yeah. They do shoot him though.
To him and then blow him off the pier.
No, he does get shot. He gets really shot. Fucked up.
Yeah. He does get shot. It kind of reminds like that little scene always reminds me a little of RoboCop. Wow. Where RoboCop gets me. That scene in RoboCop traumatized me as a kid. I remember seeing RoboCop because it was, you know, fucking like it was for kids back then, I guess. Like they were always like, give us the little RoboCop toys. I remember the first time I saw RoboCop, I was traumatized with that scene that I couldn't finish the movie until like 3 years later, where I was like, all right, I think I can watch it now. Because of the way they were just fucking him up and peeing on him and blowing his hand off. Scary shit.
Oh, so. You didn't watch enough zombie movies growing up, bro.
No, I didn't, dude. I didn't hate zombie movies until I was like 13. Nope. I was freaking the fuck out.
So, yeah, I think most of that. And then we talked a lot about Howard Saint. I mean, is there anything else we need to discuss with him? I mean, his whole thing is bizarre. And then he wants to avenge the death of his son, which Frank didn't kill his son, but I guess he holds him responsible, sort of.
I actually do want to just bring up, because I think this is, I think, the place to bring it up. I don't actually like the whole, like, murdering his whole family. Like, I kind of thought that was a bit over the top, and I agree with you, Ed. I'm like, this is a far stretch to blame Frank Castle when there were so many other people, and Frank didn't actually pull the trigger. Like, I kind of wished it was a bit more simple. Like, we tried to kill you, we kill your wife and kid, now you're going to come after us. But, like, this whole, like, we're going to take out every fucking generation of Castle and every generation, whatever the fuck your wife's maiden name is, because they're all there, 52 of them, all dead, and I'm going to burn you and blow you up and you're somehow going to survive. Like, I get why they were doing it because they wanted to make it, like, super action, but I don't know. I think simple would have been better because it would have made, the motivation would have made more sense.
Yeah, and then even Howard's not going to kill, he just wants to kill Frank. But then the wife jumps in and apparently
his entire family.
Yeah, his whole family. And also, like, Howard has this weird line in that scene where he's just talking to Quentin Glass and he's like, yeah, you know, maybe he did die, but just to come back to life and die again.
Okay. So I could kill him again? Oh!
Yeah, like, wait, I rewound it. I'm like, wait, what the fuck did he just say?
What is this? He's in a different movie.
Yeah, I guess that was the movie that he was in. I don't know. How about Roy Scheider in this movie as Frank Castle Sr.?
That was weird to see him, but awesome.
I always forget he's in this.
Roy Snyder's always fine. I'm glad to see him by the beach again. I wonder if maybe he was hunting a shark. Maybe it was entirely possible.
Maybe they would have survived if they had a bigger boat. I mean, that's where his family got murdered.
Right? Well done.
Works in Tampa.
Well done. That was well done. We talked about some of the neighbors as well, which I think we kind of agree that, you know, two of the three are just another in that other third movie that might be going on here.
Yeah. They're comic relief for a movie that shouldn't have comic relief.
No, a Punisher movie should not have comic relief whatsoever. But Rebecca Van-Stamos does. She gives a solid performance, I think, what she's given. I mean, her character is the only real character out of the three, right? Yeah. Like, who's kind of like going through the thing. She's got like an abusive boyfriend and stuff like that. And then they sort of try to put some like romantic spin, will they, won't they, with Frank, but Frank shuts that shit down and just like, I'm not who you're looking for.
And that's one of my favorite parts, because, you know, they kind of had to do a romance because it's a movie in the 2000s, so you have to have romance in it. But I love the fact that she's like, hey, Frank, and he's like, it ain't me, babe. I got punishing to do, you know?
Yeah.
And that's the end of it. I like that. Like, they had to obligatorily put it in, but I think they dealt with it in the exact way you should deal with romance in a Punisher thing. Frank Castle says, I'm not that guy.
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, this is a guy who's like on a quest and dealing with PTSD because of his family was murdered.
Yeah. He's never getting over them. He's going to be reliving that forever. He's going to force himself to relive their death until he's murdered by the Kingpin at some point in the future. Sure. He's never even going to have sex with a prostitute. Not even base. Not even going to get the base stuff taken care of. That's how the man works. And I like that that's in this movie.
And I have another note on Howard on Saint, by the way. the scene where he goes ahead and he has the thing, and Frank gets him to kill his wife and to kill his best friend. Dude, he literally throws his wife off a fucking bridge, who lands on train tracks and gets ran over by a train.
On train tracks that just fucking.
Yeah, then he tells his son later, "Oh, your wife, your mother, she had to catch a train. She ain't here no more." It's like,
yeah, that was nuts.
That's that the comic book writing. That is the comic book.
Yes, writing. It's really fucking bad. It is really bad. I couldn't get over that too. And then, what else is here? And I guess too is, oh yeah, the elaborate car, the scene at the end where he sets up all the bombs through, and after he goes fucking tears through everybody, he sets up all the cars in a way to explode and light up the Punisher skull logo at the end of the movie.
Look, that's very, yeah, that's very, very, very the Crow, but I have to do it. That's a comic book thing. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. And mid-2000s comic book or earlier thing.
Also, that happens in The Dark Knight Rises, right? That's a big thing that people nitpick is like, how did he have time to do this? It's like, well, it's a fucking comic book movie, and it was the law. It was in the Constitution in the 2000s. You had to put that shit in the movie, you know?
Yeah.
Well, Howard also sends everyone, apparently, to kill Frank Castle at some point, including two assassins he hires. One of them being this guy who has a guitar and serenades.
I love that guy.
He serenades Harry Frank Heck. Castle. Harry Heck serenades Frank Castle with a guitar, and they have this whole fucking duel and everything, and Frank stabs him in the fucking neck with like this like ejectable knife, which was fucking cool.
Yeah, I was like, that's
my favorite kill in the movie. To a gunfight.
Those were good. The kills were
that
good.
Was great, man.
No, cool thing. Little odd about the whole serenading and the neon green charger he's driving.
But I liked the serenading because I was watching that going, what the fuck is going on? Because I didn't remember this movie at all. Like, what the fuck is going on here? Is this guy just hitting on him? This is weird. And then he's like, do you like it, Frank? I'll play it at your funeral. And I'm like, oh, that's some cold-blooded shit. Like, he's going to come in like, I'm going to sing to you and then tell you, I'm going to sing this at your funeral, bitch, because I'm going to kill you. So that kind of worked for me. I thought that was fun.
Okay. And then the other one we mentioned, Kevin Nash shows up as the Russian. He's pretty much as labeled as. Literally walks up to Frank's apartment, knocks on the fucking door, and then just they go at it like
when he punches through the fucking door, dude.
Yeah.
Bang! I was like, what the fuck?
It's a crazy ass fight. We get a blonde Kevin Nash, clean shaven blonde Kevin Nash here, who's ripped. I
didn't even recognize him.
He is totally ripped in this fucking movie, by the way.
Who got fucking stabbed.
He got stabbed for the sake of this movie. Next level method acting.
Wild.
Yeah,
it's that's
next
wild,
level method shit.
Why wasn't he just Tombstone in this scene?
That would have been
Tombstone. That would have been awesome.
But yes, that's the right. Awesome.
He's busting through walls. Just put him in a suit, do his hair white instead of blonde, and let him be Tombstone.
Lionsgate only was able to afford the Punisher. That's it. Only Frank Castle. No Jigsaw. Nothing else. Zero. No, actually they did because Jigsaw appears in Punisher Warzone. Sorry. You know, with Looney Bin Jim.
No, I knew that.
Okay. So fair enough. But speaking of the
Go ahead. No. I was going to ask him, do you know who the villain is of the next movie?
Yeah, it's Jigsaw, right?
Okay, yeah, cool. Else? So, yeah. No. It's Jigsaw. No, so they had this sequel on the shelf, I think for like 2 or 3 years until they decided to reboot the whole thing, and that's why they had the Jigsaw for the next one. But apparently, Thomas Jane was supposed to go against Jigsaw in the sequel.
Yeah, there was a sequel that was set up, and they were going to have the director and Thomas Jane come back, and then both decided to leave the project over creative differences, and then they were like, fuck it, let's reboot. And hence, Punisher Warzone was I don't know. I couldn't find anything about the details of the disagreement, but, I mean, Thomas Jane has always spoken highly of Frank Castle and said he would come back in a heartbeat any time.
He did come back to do the laundry day.
Yeah, yeah, which we'll get to in a minute. But all, I just before we moved on, I wanted to talk.
Isn't
about
he coming ending. Back for Secret Wars?
Stop! Stop it! Just stop! I'm just gonna stop you right there. Everyone's coming back for Secret Wars for you. Everybody, just let it go. No, the end of this movie, Frank. Once Frank is done and completes his mission, he is gonna fucking shoot him. He's gonna shoot himself. He's drinking some more Wild Turkey and is about to off himself before. You know, that whole line about happy memories, you know, can save your life comes back and he stops and catches himself. He's like, I'm not going to do this. I'm going to go fucking dish out more vengeance and I got more work to do. And hence he drives off and stuff and labels himself the Punisher at the end of the movie, you know, and that's kind of that for this. So
also an obligatory 2000s thing. You have to end your origin movie with, I'm going to say something clever that incorporates my name. Yes. Punisher. You know? Yeah. Every movie has it in the 2000s.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Until 2008, where fucking Robert Downey Jr. Perfected that shit.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Last line of the movie. And then my bodyguard, my... I'm Iron Man.
And then in 2023, somebody would say, I am Aquaman, and start laughing about it right after.
It's true. It's true.
God damn it.
So we had mentioned, too, that Thomas Jane had an affinity for this character and was always willing to come back and stuff like that. But then in 2012, we did get a thing in the bootleg universe, which was a thing that was going on YouTube for a little while, where people danced around certain rights of certain things, and Thomas Jane did reprise his role as Frank Castle, and because a lot of fans were hyped up about it, and he does it. Was it about a little under 11 minutes?
Yeah.
This thing that's available, you can check it out on YouTube, whatever you want. It's called it's called Dirty Laundry because they couldn't call it Punisher officially, but hence it is the Punisher Dirty Laundry, where it seems like there was some things that I feel like Thomas Jane wanted to get right. Like, number one, this is obviously in New York City.
Yes. Yeah.
This is clearly there. And I'm sure this is literally in Long Island City. I probably know the 5-block radius this was shot in very, very easily in Queens. Yeah, come on. It's definitely there. We're the three of us went to high school there. So this definitely looks like Long Island City. And it's crazy. Like, Ron Perlman is in this thing. Like,
yeah, I forgot somehow. He was in this.
Yeah.
I love that.
I love it's not.
I was like, Hellboy.
Yeah, go ahead, Jader. Go ahead.
No, I was gonna say one of the hookers is not Regina King, right? Because it looks like Regina King to me, but I don't think it's her. The one that lights the guy on fire at the end, the main hooker.
No,
that's not her, right?
No, it's not.
God, I don't think it looks just like her.
I recognize
that is Brandi Stegler.
Oh yeah, no, I don't know who the fuck that is.
No, neither do I. There's only Thomas Jane and Ron Perlman. I've never heard of anyone else who's in this thing.
Yeah.
But we get like super next level violent, even though the blood splatter there is obviously like CGI and stuff, but who gives a shit? We know this is zero budget. Yeah. But Frank is pretty much there trying to literally do his laundry. He's sleeping in a van, he's having PTSD about his wife getting murdered. We get that in the beginning of it. And he's just trying to mind his own business and do his thing. And I did like him seeing putting a Yankees cap on, because that was also, for me, it was like a nod to him playing Mickey Mantle in 61. So he's kind of chilling, and all hell breaks loose on this fucking random street. There's this dude coming who's got a bunch of hookers. He's smacking around and looks like he's going to, like, kill them and stuff like that.
That's how you know it's Long Island City.
Exactly. Especially...
Look, guys, I used to work in the 90s.
You know how much a condo is over there?
I used to work like maybe 6 blocks from where we went to high school. And I'll never forget this. It was one Friday where I was outside having a cigarette, because I smoke cigarettes. And a bunch of hookers just came walking from under the 59th Street Bridge. And it was like 12, 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And they were just like stopping everywhere. They stopped like, hey, baby, you want some? And I'm like, nah, I'm working, you know, but that's what I'm saying. Long Island City.
She's man. Like, so am I.
So Frank's just trying to like mind his own business, and all this shit's going down, and it's building up and building up, and then he goes into a liquor store, meets Rob Perlman, they have this conversation, and Ron Perlman is in a wheelchair now. He says, I was you X amount of years ago, you know, like world's burning and shit. Someone's got to do something about it. And he ends up buying a bottle of Jack Daniels. And to mention what we talked about earlier, he's like, no, I've been sober for like, you know, 5 or 6 months, which is genius because it's following up on Frank's drinking.
Alcoholism, the actual movie.
Yeah. So there is actually character development done in this movie, in this little short film. And then he goes out there, no gun needed, and fucking murders everyone.
Goes on. This is the greatest Jack Daniel commercial ever made. Ever. I swear to God, dude. The way he just fucking went, and the glass never fucking breaks. It was just, just going in.
Apparently, you could bang four dudes in the head with a bottle and it won't break.
And then cripples this guy, like literally breaks like this guy's leg joints, and like uses the Jack to douse him. Is this a callback to the movie, right? Where he kind of puts the lighter there and goes, "All right, I'm gonna go finish my laundry."
and then delivers
what should be the fucking Punisher tagline. You know the difference between justice and punishment.
Yes.
Fuck yeah, dude. Hell yeah, dude.
It was awesome. And then the kid goes up to him and finds, because we see that Frank has a black t-shirt that we don't see the front of it with a hole in it early. And a kid finds it and he's like, no, you can keep it as a hole in it. And then as Frank's driving away, he picks it up and it has the Punisher skull on the front of it. And then that's that. Listen, we never got Thomas Jane an official sequel, but this, I remember when this thing came out, people lost their fucking mind.
I lost my mind. Yeah. And I was told, I forgot who told me, that they're like, dude, he's back as Punisher. I'm like, impossible, bro. They're never going to do that. Not with him. And he's like, no, it's all over YouTube. I remember seeing that shit. I'm like, where is the full-length feature to this 10-minute video? Because I need the whole movie. Yeah, I need the whole movie now. And I was like, fuck. And that's why I feel that right there was the reason why I was like, this people are finally seeing years later, because this came out, I don't even know when Dirty Laundry came out. I think it was 2012, right?
2012. Yeah. So it was, what, 8 years later?
8 years later. And that's when everybody started, I guess, like giving him his flowers. We're like, give this man the movie now. This is what we need right now. We need a full length feature. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, they premiered this in Comic-Con, right? Or something like that. I think it was something like, if I'm not mistaken, that's where they premiered it. And then it went fucking viral right after that. But I think I don't know how true that is. I think that's just something on the rumor mill. I don't remember. I just remember this being on YouTube and I saw it through a friend, but it had been out for like a month already. It had been a while until I didn't see it right away. And then I lost my shit. And it'll come up on suggested videos because I look up Marvel shit. And every time it pops up, I'm like, no, we're doing it.
Yeah.
We're going to watch this shit.
I don't know. Because I feel like if it would have debuted at Comic-Con, I feel like Marvel would have fucking went crazy after him. Or
I'm going to Google it.
Yeah, I'm curious to know that. Because I know, what was the dude's name who was doing all these bootleg universe movies again? Was it Addy Sikar or something like that? I'll find it here. He did some sort of like, he did like a Power Rangers thing that apparently people went crazy over too. Addie Shankar.
The one where they fucking kill like the Green Ranger and all these fucking people, like some bloody ass crazy shit.
That
I remember.
It's Addie Shankar. He did the bootleg universe here, and he's got like a bunch of stuff that's on here. He did some cool shit too. What was that?
We should at some point cover the bootleg universe. That might be a fun episode.
Yeah, we could jump into that, you know, if we wanted down the line. But there was definitely some cool shit in this. Yeah, this was always up until the John Bernthal stuff. This might be one of the coolest. This is definitely one of the coolest Punisher things that we ever got. And I think this is what Thomas Jane wanted from the movie that we didn't fully get. Like, there is no like real comedic relief in this whatsoever. It's just like straight up hardcore Frank Castle without even, and did a great job dancing around the rights issue at that point.
It's crazy because this morning, right, randomly, not knowing how, I obviously told you, I jumped on the show like 2 minutes before this aired, right? I couldn't sleep. I was just watching random films today. And I actually saw Gridiron Gang, right? Which I haven't seen in a very long time, which is a rock movie about football. How this connects is that the director of Gridiron Gang directed Dirty Laundry, which is super fucking little fun for you right there. Yeah. And today, randomly, mind you, I haven't seen Gridiron Gang since it came out in the theater, but it popped up on Netflix. And I'm like, you know what? I'm feeling a little bit sports cliche motivational film. Let me watch one of these. And I ended up seeing Gridiron Gang today. And then what I saw right now, when I was doing the search for, because I wanted to see who directed this, I just clicked the name and I was like, oh, holy shit. He just did the same. I just found out literally right now.
Nice. Rick, what were your thoughts on Dirty Laundry? Did you see it?
I just saw it today. Okay. I just saw it today for the first time ever.
Oh, okay.
I was like on a break. I was like just sitting around doing nothing for 20 minutes and I threw it on and I watched it. And I was like, first of all, the fucking the blood is like watching like Japanese animation. Like, yeah. I was like,
I'll forgive it. It's fine.
It was hacky. It was funny. But, I consider this like Dirty Laundry, the post credit scene to The Punisher. Like, if you watch The Punisher, and then like during the post credit scene, like Dirty Laundry happened, you'd be like, "Oh, it's fucking awesome." That's how I accepted it when I watched it. It was cool. I enjoyed it. It was a lot of fun, but it helps round out a Punisher character that you guys, like Jason said earlier, I thought he was super flat when he was just Frank Castle, the cop. But when he was the Punisher, he was the Punisher. You know what I mean? And I looked at this film earlier, which I haven't seen in a bunch of years prior to today. Probably since I saw it in the theater, I haven't seen it again till today. And it made me think how all of these films are going to be viewed in the future. 30 years from now, people are going to look back. There's going to be some kid in film school using AI, trying to like create the next best film. And he's going to look at these Punisher movies, right? And he's going to be like, oh, Warzone, that's the grindhouse movie. Oh, Barenthal, that's the like fucking goat version. Oh, the 2004, that's when they made the 2000s version of the Punisher. And it's all going to make fucking perfect sense. And that's how I accept, like, most of these films. Like, this is the 2000s version of The Punisher. It checks all the tropes, and it gives you The Punisher. It's not bad. And Thomas Jane was fucking awesome. Like, and he was jacked, dude. I had to do a couple push-ups when I was watching this. Usually it's Fight Club that makes you want to do a couple of push-ups. But Thomas Jane in this film, he's like walking around like, bitch, I don't do abs. Like, only doing pull-ups around here. So,
I was. By the way, that's how I
view this film is, you know, this is, it's period appropriate Punisher.
Yeah, I mean, the weird thing too, by the way, with Thomas Jane, not in Dirty Laundry, but in the film is, he goes ahead and as his like shirtless scenes, it looks like he literally shaves around his abs and then has hair everywhere else. I was like, he was just like going to highlight them or something. It's very bizarre. And I thought it was me at
first.
Yeah, look at him. I like all this work. Look at me.
Got to showcase the goods.
Hey, nobody said it when Christian Bale was doing that.
It's true.
That's because we're afraid of Christian Bale. He might come to our house and yell at us.
That's American Psycho. Don't forget it.
But yeah, Dirty Laundry. I do Can we find out? Was it premiered? Now you got me thinking. If it was premiered,
I just searched on. Well, I looked at Wikipedia. There's no mention of on it. Okay. It just said that it was, you know, very well received. People loved it. People wanted Thomas Jane to come back and reprise the role, but I couldn't find anything. I thought I heard that rumor elsewhere. If I find it, I'll send it your way.
Okay, yeah, because I really do could imagine Marvel would have sued the shit out of them, and then went like enough of this crap.
I don't know if they could have sued them though, because they never used the name Punisher. I mean,
yeah,
they used the skull.
Yeah, but it's a skull on a shirt. Like,
did Marvel own the rights?
They had the Marvel theatrical rights. Well, they owned the rights at the Punisher. Time, the theatrical
the rights.
The theatrical rights were.
They might not have owned the rights, so they couldn't do anything anyway.
Lionsgate had the theatrical rights to the Punisher at that point.
Lionsgate probably appreciated the fucking bump in DVD sales.
But even so, like you can like copyright the cartoon, the comic book version of his shirt, but you can't copyright a T-shirt with a skull on it. I mean, you could cover maybe a specific looking one, but that's why I think they were very good about getting around copyright laws. They don't really touch on anything that you can really get them for.
No, they do a phenomenal job of not crossing the line, I guess, you know, with that. All right, so I guess that's it. Anything else on Punisher before we wrap this one up?
I did actually want to bring up one character we missed. All
right.
Go ahead.
It did. I agree. The character we missed that I thought could have been better and should have been better was the Weasley guy that, like, Frank Castle tortures. Mm.
Yes.
Like, he really should have tortured that guy. Fuck this whole, like, I'm burning, searing steak and poking you with cold sticks. But, like, Frank Castle has, like, a tech guy, a guy in the chair, right? Like, they could have set him up to be that, but they don't. It's just like, you're going to help me. Okay, I hate them anyway. And then, like, that's kind of the end of it. Like, there was something there. It could have been, like, strengthened the movie if they actually made that guy a character. And I just want to point that out because, again, I think this movie is a quintessential, like, there was so much there and they just didn't follow through on enough of it. And I think that's why we're enjoying this movie now, because we're seeing the potential. We're seeing what was there. Mm-hmm. It just didn't push it far enough. And I think that's something that could have pushed it a bit farther. So I didn't want to end the conversation without bringing that up.
No, of course. Don't worry about it. You'll get Chip next week. Chip is Wayne Knight. Newman.
Wait, I want to piggyback.
Yes, Wayne Knight is Chip in Punisher Warzone.
Holy shit!
Before we transition into next week, I want to piggyback to what Jason said. Fuck John Travolta for fucking this movie up. His moving it to Florida just so it was near his house. And their accommodation, because it would save them so much money, fuck this film over in the long run. If this was
shot in
New York City, yeah, that's a real thing.
I had no idea that happened. I was always wondering why the fuck Tampa and not New York, but I know it was because of that.
He's a Scientologist and lives in Clearwater with all the other Scientologists. Clearwater is beautiful, by the way. I want to live there with Scientologists.
I'm like Clearwater, Florida is very beautiful.
But they created a fake building. That was in my notes I forgot to bring up. They were showing downtown Tampa and the club that they go to in the beginning, John Travolta and his wife, fake building. They CGI'd that building in there. There's no building in front of the Sykes building.
Interesting. Mm. The Saints and Sinners Club.
Yeah. There were a lot of elements in this movie that were upsetting me as a person that lives here now.
Wow. So Ben Affleck, Daredevil, pissed you off when you were living in New York, and then now the Punisher being in Tampa pisses you off when you live down there.
To Marvel Strikes Again.
Again and again.
The scenes with all the neighbors were shot on a soundstage trying to look like a flat in New York City. Like, what are we doing?
But I don't know. I never understood why Tampa, to be honest with you, because it never made any sense to me.
John Travolta,
thank you for bringing up that to light, because I had
to Florida And when they did it, they were able to be like, dude, we're going to save all this money. But I swear the scenes in Puerto Rico scenes were shot in fucking Tampa. Like, I could take you there. Like, they're like, oh, this is Puerto Rico. How do we know? Put a Puerto Rican flag. Like,
oh, there's no way that they're
flag in front of my house. It doesn't no make way my that house part of Puerto Rico.
The set to Puerto Rico to film just like the opening scene. No, screw that. That's not, no. I didn't buy that for 2 seconds.
I don't even think so.
That's why I said Puerto Rico.
I want to see those like invoices. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that sounds like. Anyway, that's my 2 cents on that. They fucked Florida over in a lot of this movie. Should have been shot in New York.
Yeah, agreed. Should have. With the 6,000 other Marvel heroes that exist in New York and should be the safest place on the planet, but apparently, you know, not so much. So,
well, how do you think we went from the cesspot of crime we were in the 80s to the corporate Disney utopia we are now? Because we had all the superheroes.
It's fair enough. And I mean, when you have Hell's Kitchen having Daredevil, and then Queens has Spider-Man, and then you got the Punisher roaming around somewhere else in Manhattan. I mean, the X-Men got Westchester covered. I mean, there's on every other block, there's a superhero.
My thing with Spider-Man, so he's from Queens, right? But he does all his fucking shit in Manhattan. Like, what's up with that, Ed? You're from Queens.
Well, he ends up moving there eventually when Peter, like, grows up. I mean, that was
his born in Queens.
Oh, he goes to high school in Queens, and then once he moves out, he moves to Manhattan eventually with MJ when they get together. And that was my plan, was to move from Queens to Manhattan. And then when I saw the prices of an apartment, I said, no, I'm going to buy a house in Queens instead. Fuck you.
I mean,
by the way, Eddie's house, if anybody's been to it, actually has the Spider-Man hatch to escape through the roof. Like, it actually has the stained glass, top of the stairs, you push it, and then you go through there, you hop on the train, and then you're in the city in 20 minutes.
Yes. So if I do get bitten by that radioactive spider, I'm set. I'm ready to go.
There you go, man.
Set up. All right. Well, either way, that wraps it up for us this week regarding the Punisher. Next week, we'll be continuing our journey through the 2000s Marvel movies with Punisher Warzone, which was Lionsgate's reboots of this property.
The beginning of the reboots.
Yes, the reboot era of Marvel.
Yeah.
We'll see, because me and you saw it in the theater together.
When you're watching
it. Me and you saw it in the theater together, and we started dying laughing.
Yes.
It's hard not to watch this movie.
Yeah, Jada, I can tell you the very moment when we turned on this movie and turned it into a comedy was the whole parkour guys jumping from roof to roof.
100%.
Once that missile goes through and turns them into sauce, I'm like, we just died. We started dying laughing. And me, Rick, and Tim saw this together at the time.
Jesus.
We were hysterically laughing, and then that was it. We were on board with
That's when you knew what you signed up for when you watched that movie. It's a totally different – yeah. You're going to have fun, Jason. I hope so. I hope
Punisher
you have fun.
Warzone is a grindhouse Punisher movie. Watch it and laugh. Enjoy yourself. I will.
And if you want to join us next week, go ahead and find Punisher Warzone and check that out. Fellas, thanks for joining. As always, Jader, thanks for jumping on. It was a pleasant surprise. The audible was called that you asked for.
Yeah. I was like, call an audible right now. I need to jump on.
Yeah, I was like, all right, let's go. Fuck it. We got room for one more tonight. all right, so if you check this out on Facebook, be sure to check out Brady's PG's Facebook group. We got a lot of cool stuff and trailers and whatnot that jumps on there. Jason is counting down for Madam Web, so any kind of content that I come across, I'm going to keep sending that to him to drum up the excitement for that.
Appreciate that.
God help us all. God help us all.
Fuck. Checking us out on YouTube.
It's going to be so good. Subscribe
to Pop Culture Pros. Checking us out on X. You can go ahead and follow at Pop Culture Pros as well. And wherever you found your audio-only podcast, check out Pop Culture Pros. I had mentioned we'll be back next week talking Punisher Warzone. And we'll see if anything else pops up. So see you next week, boys. Peace.
Later.